This LTD Finance Committee meeting to order. So everyone kind of reported in by talking. So my quick comment from the chair is that just for the future, if you have specific questions after receiving the board packet, please send those to me and then I will forward those on to appropriate staff. And I appreciate the sentiment just because I think it's there are some questions that could be complicated and do need some additional time to look into. And so that would be very helpful. But rather than contacting staff directly, having me as being the funnel or the point person, as it were, I think would just make for a more efficient process. So that's my comment. Yeah, thank you very much. And the first item on our agenda is approval of minutes.
I move to approve.
And I can second that.
Excellent. So Josh has moved. Emily has seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
So it is approved unanimously. The next, we'll go straight into the amendment to the intergovernmental agreement. And I think John is presenting to us. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
So I only have a little bit of time, but I wanted to very quickly go over where we're at and where we would like to go with our Cottage Grove connector. So this is our mobility on demand service that we currently have in Cottage Grove. And so this is a pilot program that we started. It's a 12-month pilot that we started in January of this year. And so this is very different than what we would consider to be traditional fixed route bus service. So rather than waiting out at a stop for a particular time for a bus to come get you, this allows someone to either use an app or to telephone in to be able to book a ride that will pick someone up from anywhere within the Cottage Grove city limits and take them to anywhere within the Cottage Grove area. So it's origin to destination service, picks you up right where you're at and takes you right directly where you're going. So this is a way for us to try out some new technology. So it's intended as a pilot program, specifically for us to try something new, to see what works, what doesn't, to be able to adapt, and just be able to see if these are technologies that we want to adopt either on a larger scale or that can be more efficient for this kind of population. So this is what we've tried out. We're using an app that is created by Transloke. So this is directly through someone's smartphone. However, we do recognize that not everyone is going to have access to a smartphone or be able to use that particular kind of technology. So we do have other options where someone can access the service either through a website or by telephoning into a dispatch center. So primarily, we are looking at how these technologies can be used. And this is fairly new to us. So one of the efficiencies that we gain from this is it allows us to do ride sharing. And so if we notice that two people who ordinarily would be using a taxi call into our dispatch or otherwise let us know on their app that they want to travel to a particular location in Cottage Grove, the algorithm within the app can let us know that there could be an efficiency where one vehicle that we dispatch might pick them both up and take them in the same direction. So that eventually becomes car sharing rather than separate trips or trips that people might use a personal vehicle. So this is a way to encourage people to utilize public transit in a way that's different than we may have been able to give them options to utilize in the past. So we've currently seen that that's been very successful. And so I've got some stats that I'll share with you shortly. The service itself operates weekdays from 7 a.m. It continues through 7:30 p.m., though we typically have a last call. So we're having people schedule their last trips usually around 7 to 7:15 p.m. It's only within the Cottage Grove city limits. So if someone's intending to go outside, they're either going to need to utilize another form of transportation, or we're finding that people are connecting with our LTD service or otherwise finding other transportation. The ride itself is a very reasonable and affordable $1 per ride, and all valid forms of LTD fare are accepted. So if someone has a day pass through LTD or a month pass, that's considered to be fare, as well as if someone has an honored rider card, that will count as fare as well. But otherwise, it is $1 per ride. And then we do have plans to, in the future, incorporate the TouchPass technology that we're utilizing on our fixed route buses currently. So as far as ridership, we've been seeing a steady increase in overall ridership as the program has progressed, and this is not unexpected. So as people are continuing to download the app, make use of the technology, or otherwise just familiarize themselves with the service, it is becoming more popular. So we're seeing those numbers generally increasing over time, and we will continue to keep an eye on those. One of the other metrics that we're definitely watching is just the overall cost per boarding. And so some of the things that we're noticing is that over time, the service is becoming more efficient. And this is also an expectation of the service. And so over time, we're just monitoring what's the cost per boarding. Just kind of for your reference, this is more expensive than we would see on fixed routes. So fixed route tends to be over $5 per boarding, MX more than $2 per boarding, but overall a little bit under $5 per boarding for all of LTD. And so we're noticing that it's a little bit more expensive for that, but this is a more personalized and customized service. So we're picking people up right where they're at rather than, say, a fixed route bus. So there is a bit of an additional cost associated with that. We're also noticing that the amount of shared rides has been increasing over time. So we're seeing more people sharing vehicles, and so we're getting more of that carpooling. We're also noticing that wait times tend to be around or under about 10 minutes per boarding, which is pretty good considering the geographic area that we're serving within Cottage Grove. So our average trip lengths are around 2 miles, give or take. And so that's really pretty good for the level of coverage that we have, the geographic area. So that essentially brings us into the agenda item summary that we're going to have for today. So we would request to make an amendment to our current agreement with the City of Cottage Grove to address some growing changes. One of the two changes that we would like to make with our IGA, the first is we've noticed that the service has become a bit more popular than we originally anticipated. So we've had to incorporate a second vehicle for peak service hours. Otherwise, our wait times were going to be quite long, and so it required the addition of a second vehicle during those peak service hours to be able to make sure that people could do things like make connections to our LTD fixed route bus, or just to be able to rely on the service to do things like get to work on time or otherwise, be able to ensure that they weren't having an undue wait to be able to get where they need to go. The other change that we'd be looking to is to extend the overall timeline for the pilot project itself. So the original pilot was designed to be 12 months starting in January and getting done at the start of the new year. We're finding that we would like some additional time to be able to collect data. In addition, we'd like to be able to align this with our Downtown Eugene MGO pilot project, which currently has an expiration date of the pilot in August of 2020. We'd like to see both these pilot programs have the same end date within August of 2020 to be able to align both the data as well as make a decision at the same time about the viability of both projects and whether or not we continue to either extend or make permanent either or both of those projects. So to us, that makes sense, the most sense to be able to have those aligned on the same timeline, which would require an extension of the timeline of the original IGA with the City of Cottage Grove, which requires board approval. The addition of the second vehicle and the extension of the timeline also would put the total contract amount above the 150K limit, which requires board approval. So we come before the board for both of those changes. The addition of the second vehicle for the original pilot program period is estimated to cost $49,350. The estimate for both the addition of the second vehicle and the extension of the pilot program amount is estimated to cost $175,000 to extend from the original expiration of January in 2020 through August of 2020. And so we would require board approval of both of those changes, and so that's the staff recommendation is to then forward that on to board for approval as part of the consent calendar. So I'm here to be able to answer any questions or to be able to discuss any details that may come before the board.
Great. Thank you, John. Any questions from Josh or Emily?
My only concern, this is Emily, I just wanted to clarify that we're not going to have any unintended consequences as far as grants or funding by extending that pilot to match the EMGO timeframe?
So that's a great question. And so as part of the preparation of these materials before the board committee, we've looked at both the STIF funding requests that we've made as part of the mobility on demand programs for both the City of Cottage Grove and downtown Eugene. Those are contingent upon our agreements through a variety of sources, such as City of Eugene, Lane County, City of Cottage Grove. What the extension of the IGA allows us to do is to allow us for an extension of the pilot program period. However, that does remain contingent upon us having funding to be able to support those services. So if there were a scenario in which for whatever reason, we had insufficient funds to be able to support the pilot program for that duration, we would either need to halt the pilot program or go back before the board. So this would mainly authorize us, if funds are available, they would be authorized to be used, but that's contingent on those funds. However, our estimate and our expectation is that we would have funds to support the pilot program through the estimated extension of the pilot program period.
John, I actually had a question. When you were computing the price per passenger, is that the right metric? I don't know. Cost per boarding, thank you. Was that in comparison? I noticed you said that you were comparing it to Eugene Springfield's cost per boarding, but would it also make sense to look at what Cottage Grove was before MOD went into place there?
And I can answer that, Carl. So we didn't have comparators for this service. So this is a whole new service we're providing. But paratransit is approximately $35 on the low end and sometimes higher per boarding. So we're just comparing it to as close as we can, apples to apples.
Oh,
but because we've never had a service like this before, we don't have that. So if we were doing these on paratransit when South Lane Wheels were just doing the paratransit, it's much higher than that. Mm-hmm. So right, 35, I'm correct?
Yeah, so our costs of paratransit service are over $30 per trip. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're finding is that this provides another option for passengers. Both so paratransit is a mandatory service mm-hmm. that Lane Transit provides, and so we have to internalize the costs of those mandatory services. And so one of the things that we are attempting and provides another option for individuals, particularly older adults and people who identify with disabilities, is if folks can make use of a service like the Connector, which is providing services for under, say, $9 a trip, if they were to choose paratransit, that would cost LTD as a required service over $30 per trip. And instead, there's a benefit both not just in cost to LTD, but also in increasing the independence of individuals who identify with disabilities and utilizing the same services as the general public is utilizing to get where they need to go. So it creates kind of that double benefit that we're finding in by creating that additional option. So it doesn't relieve or remove our requirement to provide paratransit service, but it definitely provides an enhancement and an incentive both to us as a transit district, but also to riders who might utilize a service like that.
I guess what I was trying to get at was, it seems like this is really successful if you were to compare it in that fashion to whatever we had previously in Cottage Grove. No, is that? Yeah.
So our average cost for our fixed route system is about $550 a ride.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a little more than that, but it's much, much less than our paratransit service.
Right.
So, yeah.
Which is what was operating there before.
Correct.
Right.
And up there it was probably a little more per ride because ridership was really low.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I imagine the fixed route that we, or the point where they get picked up, has that increased the service from Cottage Grove on to
for the number of people that are traveling from Walmart into town?
Yes, that's right.
that has not increased.
That has not increased?
No. Nope.
Oh, I'm very surprised.
It actually decreased slightly.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, that's I was just curious about that. Any other questions from the other committee members? Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah, this is Josh. Just quickly, first of all, that was an amazing summary of the project overall, John. I really, really appreciate that. And I'm sorry I can't see whatever. I'm imagining there are some slides. It sounds like you're referring to stuff up on the board. I hope all that goes before the full board. I guess, we're having you've kind of provided this big, fuller context that really I think is more appropriate for the board. And our job here, as I understand it, is just to say, do we want to keep funding this, or does the contract, as you've described it, look okay? But I think that it's really, this is basically R&D, this pilot project. So I think the real discussion should happen at the board level. So I have lots of comments and questions, but I think I'll save it for that bigger discussion.
I guess it's, unless there are any other questions or comments, I will entertain a motion.
Sorry, I'm scrambling to get the PDF here.
I move to forward the amended IGA 2019-07 to the Board of Directors with the recommendation for approval.
And I second.
Excellent. So Emily has moved. Josh has seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 And it passes unanimously. Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, everyone, for their attention on this.
Thanks for your work on
this.
Thank
you. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
We will move on to the amended contract for New Flyer of America. Either one.
Yeah.
This is Matt, the Director of Fleet Management, and I'm here to present to the board a recommendation for amending the contract for time to allow for the additional purchase of buses. So our current contract, which was 2014-02, was for a total of 20 buses. On our initial build, we had 7 of those buses that we exercised. That's our 15-100 buses. And what we're doing is we're looking at our CIP. Looking forward, we would like to continue to give us the time to purchase additional BRT buses for our fleet. As I noted in the description, that our BRT system does provide from a passenger count 37.5% of our boardings. So it's a critical service to allow us to move people. And so we're recommending for us to have the ability to, again, extend the term of this particular contract for the purchase of additional BRT buses.
Great. Any questions for Matt?
This is Josh. Carl, I want to be mindful of what you said at the outset. I think it's probably best for me just to dive straight into the questions that I had sent you by email.
Yeah,
is that okay?
I think you should always ask a question, and if they can't answer right away, they will not answer right away.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to understand the structure of the contract because, the AIS is super clear. I think it didn't go quite deep enough to answer some of these questions. So I didn't quite see the complete connection between the original 2015 contract price that's in there, a little over $1.02 million, the use of the producer price index, and then the ceiling of $9 million for up to 7 additional buses. Just because the 1/7 of $9 million is so much more than more than a quarter more than that 2015 contract price. Matt, do you want to just describe this? Having heard that much,
I'm going to throw my voice to Kalina for you guys.
Hi, Josh. This is Kalina.
Hi.
So the type of contract that we have for New Flyer is fixed price with price escalation. And so that's where we get into with the PPI. To kind of give you the short, long version, when the current standard bus specifications were written, all together with FTA, APTA, American Public Transportation Association, and the original equipment manufacturers, one of the requests that they made was regarding, it used to be that the price of the buses was fixed over the entire term of the contract. And one of the requests that the OEMs made was that we allow for price escalation. So in the 2014 solicitation documents, there is wording that states how many buses we're going to purchase minimally, how many we'll purchase maximum, and after the initial issuance of a purchase order, any subsequent purchases of vehicles under that contract could, if that was required, could be adjusted, or there could be a price escalation based on whatever the PPI is. Price escalation if it went up, but also decrease if it goes down. And that's based on, for our area, it would be Portland. And so that's where, that's the connection between the original contract price, or at that time, they bid on what the base bus, the cost of the base bus was. And then any subsequent orders would be subject to that PPI. And what we did was we went in to the Department of Labor and found the most recent table that we have for our PPI, the category 1413, which is truck and truck bodies, I believe it is. And it was for 2018, over the 12-month 2018 period. And so we provided what they showed as the median for that time period, and then added that together to come up with our ceiling, our maximum cost for the buses. Just to add in, we want, until we put in the order, we and do what's called a master resolution list, and that's just working out all the various components of the vehicle. We won't have a final price on that, but what we know is that it should not exceed that $9 million that we've projected. Does that make sense? Or help?
That completely makes sense and seems fair to everybody and draws on legitimate external sources so the price escalation isn't arbitrary. I just couldn't see all of the math, and the amount of money was enough that I just wanted to be able to see it. So you're saying from some part of 2014 to some part of 2018 is the period of escalation?
Yes, and the median, what do they call it? The absolute median, median absolute percentage for that time period shows us 2.47%, I believe it is.
Yeah, so I don't know if we take, were you going to say something, Matt?
Oh, I just added that one we were looking at, it was for 2018, specifically okay. Where they came that 2.47%.
Okay, so, and Carl, you tell me if you want us to you want me to write up my questions in greater detail than I in the form I sent to you, but it just isn't complete. Like, what we provided there doesn't actually tell us exactly what the buses are going to cost, and so it's sort of hard as a finance committee member for me to, like, fully audit that. It should be super simple math, right? Like, I mean, there's kind of zero mystery here. The PPI is something you can look up on the web. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics produces this. It's just a website, and you can get all that from, like, between any two points. And so it was big enough numbers. I just wanted to see it all spelled out. Is there an easy way to do that, or would you guys like follow-up questions where I kind of lay it out in detail? What do you suggest as the best way to proceed?
Well, I was going to take us a step back. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're just asking us to approve a contract extension. You're not asking us to approve to buy buses, which I feel is a very different thing.
And correct.
I feel that's, Josh, is that the direction you were thinking about going?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good clarification. No, we're already approving to buy the buses elsewhere in, like, our STIF funding and the CIP. This contract, I mean, what we're approving in the contract is the specifics of the contract. So the, you know, potential ceiling on the price of the buses and the contract extension in terms of the total dollar value and number of buses that could go under it.
May I just kind of interject? So our ask is to extend the term of the contract so that we can actually place our order place the order, because what we know right now, the average bus build is about 18 to 24 months. And what we want staff to be able to do is, under the current terms and conditions of this contract, be able to administer that bus build under these same terms and conditions. And so that's, we're requesting the extension of time. In terms of economic impact, we've provided that information as a point, we've provided that as a point of information for the board so that you have some context as to why it was coming before you overall.
Can I?
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Okay. This is Kristen. So I talked very briefly with Matt and Kalina before the meeting, and so I'm trying to make sure that we're complying with everything here. And so are we not going to place the order under the current term of the contract?
Yes.
We are?
Yes.
Okay. And so, but the Finance Committee would not be authorizing that purchase then. That's what I'm confused
about.
So
it's a current contract from 2014-02, and it would have been, that contract was in place before we had all of these things.
Yes.
I think as a matter of being transparent,
yes,
to the current board, we just wanted to bring that, and we're providing the economic, the economic impact information. But in general, we just need permission to extend that, the term of the contract. Ultimately, that is what our request is. Because as Josh stated, we've already sought authorization regarding the expenditure in the CIP,
okay,
and then in this current year's budget.
Okay. So, so, and I'm kind of looking at, I'm not looking on my phone for text. I'm looking at the law. And so the Oregon law talks about not amending a contract past the term that was stated in the request for proposals. Like, so if it said 5 years, then unless we said 5 years plus a 1 year, or 2 year, or 3 year option, we couldn't extend it past that. But I think that if we place the order within the 5 year initial term, that that would be fine, and that all the terms and conditions,
yes,
that would still apply would apply even if it's past the 5 years. So I didn't,
I think that's what we're,
that's what I want to make sure. So I would feel comfortable that we're complying with Oregon law.
Yes.
But I'm not quite sure why we would need to extend the term of the contract then. But I haven't seen the contract. I haven't seen the,
yep,
proposal.
So you're saying we may not even need to.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just, and maybe we could in an abundance,
yeah,
of caution, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But to comply with Oregon law, I would like the order to be placed within the 5 year term.
So we will. But what I will say,
okay,
is that, and I know you know, this is, these are federal funds, and this, and federal,
yes,
trumps Oregon.
When it's, yes, but when Oregon is more specific, that when it's more specific, then we have to comply with the state law. And
okay,
so that's my concern, is that the federal law actually gives us, it's broader,
yes,
than,
yeah,
Oregon. So I still think we can comply with Oregon
I,
law.
I think we are, but I think what we're doing is we're in the abundance of caution, because the funds are not.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as you place,
yeah,
as long as you place the order within the 5 years,
yes,
that's okay. So that's what I just got confused during the discussion. So I just wanted,
and that's,
to clarify,
not till February, if I remember correctly, that the 5 years for the Oregon is due.
So, October is this month.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Excuse me. This is Matt, and it is. It expires in October. If you trace back, that's shown in the AIS, October 22nd.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So just to clarify, is one of the reasons you would want us to extend it is so that you potentially could order them after October 2019.
Oh, really? That would,
yeah.
So even with this, that we would still have all of those options available,
yeah,
to us, because we had 20 total, so we've got 13 left. I think we're going to be exercising 5 to 7. If we were able to identify additional funds, we'd like to go ahead and order off of this same contract without having to do a solicitation,
right,
which would typically push us out,
right,
another 9 months beyond what our normal bus build would be.
And
that's the part I'd like to look into, yeah, for the future, to make sure that you could do additional orders off this,
okay,
under Oregon, because I do think federal is more permissive in this case than,
yes,
Oregon. But for this particular order, if you ordered in that timeline,
yes,
don't have a concern.
Yes, we're going to order. We'll place that order before October
22nd. Okay. That makes me less concerned now based on what Kristen had said. Yeah. So, okay. Yes.
Okay. And then I will look into that other issue.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you for doing that, Kristen. Any questions from Emily?
I think I followed all of that. That would be really helpful. It's just like a one or two sentence of like, what is the final decision and are we okay to move forward with this proposal or should we table it until we get more information from Kristen's research?
So, Emily, just for clarification, for the order we are going to place within this contract, we will do it within the existing terms. And we will not order beyond that unless council advises us to do so. So if it's not authorized by law, we will not proceed. So basically, I think the recommendation to the board is if the Oregon state law allows it, if you choose to recommend it, you do. And if it doesn't, it will not because, you know, and then we would probably report out at the board meeting the additional information or put it in the AIS. We probably don't need to report it out. Just put it in the AIS so that you guys know, like you said, what the final outcome is. But, yeah, we will not award beyond that if it's not approved.
Okay.
So just to clarify, and I just want to be clear, at the top of page 2, it says the current contract expires October 22nd, 2014. That's supposed to say 2019, right?
That's correct.
Okay, just checking. And that's, it says it's more than a 5-year contract. I think that was one of the points of confusion I had reading this, because I thought the contract says it started in January of 2014. So, January 21st, 2014. But the contract date is actually October 2019. October 22nd.
The solicitation was issued in January of 2014, but the contract was executed in October.
I see. Okay, great. Great. Okay, that's helpful. And then, so I guess the final point of confusion for me is if we have the existing contract until October 22nd, those buses could be ordered under the existing contract, but would they, do they still require, and pardon the ignorance here, that would still require finance committee approval or not? I mean, like, it's an existing contract, but is it considered kind of a new expenditure?
No, I don't believe that it would require.
Well, no, I think what Kalina was mentioning, the point of us bringing it was we were hoping to extend it and order additional, but everything we do is within what's already been approved by the board. So that means if Kristen advises us that beyond this next order, we cannot use that contract anymore, what we would do is we would resolicit or use some state contract and then bring that to the board within the budgetary constraints. So this just kind of lets us know what contract we're going to use, whether we're going to use an existing one or we're going to re-procure or use a state contract. Does that clear it up, Josh? I'm sorry. So that was why they were bringing it. They were hoping to use it for even beyond what we're ordering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we are just standing by to hear from Kristen about whether we can actually extend it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll email them. Okay. I'll email Kalina and Matt this week.
Okay.
Oh,
great. Thank you.
So you don't no longer need us to, we still need to approve this with the amendment, just in case.
I'd go ahead and approve it subject to, you know, legal counsel approval, and then the finance committee is acted, and then it can, you know, if I approve it, it'll go in the consent count, you know, packet, and then if not, we can remove it, but you don't want to not take action, and then the board wouldn't take action.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I will go ahead and move to forward contract number 2014-02 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval pursuant to legal counsel advice on the matter.
I'll second.
Second.
I think Josh beat you. So moved by me, seconded by Josh. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
It is approved unanimously. Thank you very much.
Carl, before we adjourn,
sure.
I would just say, I mean, I will let me know who I should follow up with. And Carl, this could be just you, and you could send it on to the appropriate people if you want. But I'd still like this. The, you know, more than $1 million a bus, I'd love to. I just want to see the map. Who should I ask?
Oh, I think they've received your questions, so I think a response will be forthcoming.
Okay, awesome. Okay. Sorry, and you guys, I don't mean to be high maintenance about nickel dime stuff, and I try not to be, but, you know, this is not that.
Agreed.
Great. Any other matters from other board members, or sorry, with committee members?
No, I just want to, just wanted to just throw out there that I'd like to see this committee do more than just contract reviews. So if there's ever an opportunity where we can be more helpful to the board, to LCD, you know, mission statement, I would just say I'm open to that in some capacity.
Sounds good. Great. Well, with that, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting, and thank you very much, you two, for participating.
Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Afternoon.
You too, bye.
It is.